you're here tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, if you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. It's kind of toward the end of the Old Testament. If you go to Matthew, go over to the left five books, you will see Mr. Habakkuk. Book of Habakkuk tonight. Sunday night, we spoke a little bit about the life of Moses. And enjoyed speaking about him. And we actually took some verses out of the book of Acts, dealing with Stephen, his stoning, and then Stephen giving an account of the Messiah coming and those he worked through, Joseph, and then Stephen got to talking about Moses. And so we talked about the life of Moses, and we talked about his three sets of 40, and which make 120. He was 120 years old when he died, and God did something amazing in every 40-year time span of his life. But we're not going to re-preach or reteach that. I really don't feel like I'm done with that, so we may get back to that in coming Sundays. But tonight I want to do another character study and look at the life of Habakkuk. And what I want to do is I simply want to outline these three chapters. Habakkuk has three chapters, and what I want to do is just outline the best way I can that describes his life, and I pray it'll be a help and a blessing to us. You know, many times some of the Old Testament books, Habakkuk, Obadiah, Nahum, and many others, they're tucked away in the Old Testament. But I tell you, I started looking in Habakkuk earlier this week, and there are just things up top of things that just have been popping off at the page at me. And that's what God's Word is. You know, it's a treasure, and you got to go looking for it. And there's much to be found. But the book of Habakkuk, I want to talk about three things in his life. I want to talk about his person, who he was, what did he do, the kind of character he had. And then I want to talk about his purpose. What did he do in life? And what did he do here in the book of Habakkuk? And then I want to talk about his path, his person, his purpose, and his path. Believe it or not, sometimes I can't find another matching word or letter to complete my outline, but it did well today. His person, his purpose, his path. And we'll definitely try to finish this tonight, but I do not want to rush it because there is some things here tonight that I feel that I need to share, and I know it will encourage you as it encouraged me. Number one, let's just jump right into the book of Habakkuk. Let's look at his person. Who was Habakkuk? When it comes to his life as a person, who was he? What did he do? Well, in verse number one, the Bible says that he was a prophet. Look what he says in verse one. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Now, Habakkuk was a prophet. Now, Habakkuk, as we study the Bible, and it's a good way of a good study tool, meaning how to study the Bible, is you categorize the prophets in the Old Testament. And this is what I mean by that. Habakkuk was a prophet, but he's known as a minor prophet. Not because of his spiritual maturity, he's minor. You know, not because of his zeal or passion or his thriving for God, he's minor. He's not under any other prophet. It's just the size of his book. There's three chapters. And so Habakkuk is a prophet, but he's known as a minor prophet. And this helps us to know the prophets from the books, the long books, the short books, when you categorize them that way. And so his person, he was a minor prophet. Verse 1 tells us he was a prophet. What is a prophet? Well, in Old Testament times, a prophet was twofold, but primarily a prophet foretold. He foretold. He foretold future events. He prophesied. But also, there's a second part of being a prophet, not only to foretell of future events, but to forthtell. And that means just taking God's word and forthtelling to man what it says. But also, in the same token, foretelling the future. And so Habakkuk was a minor prophet based upon his 3-chapter book. And he was one who was prophesying. And we'll get to that in just a moment. I want to be very delicate and take this slow because, I mean, it's verse upon verse here. It's chiseling it real close, Brother Don, to make the right cut. Minor prophet. 3-chapter book. And he was receiving a message from God, and he was foretelling two things. And we'll get to that in a moment. But number one, his person, minor prophet. But what about his name? What does the name Habakkuk mean? Well, the name Habakkuk means embracer, and it also means wrestler. Embracer, wrestler. So we see his person, he's a minor prophet. His name means embracer or wrestler. And when you read this book, and when we get into chapter number 1, you'll see how he lives up to that name. Or there's characteristics. He wrestled with God. You see, Habakkuk received a burden, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he received a burden from the Lord. It was things that he saw taking place there in Judah, around God's people, and he argued with God. And so his name means wrestler. His name means embracer. Again, we're talking about the person of Habakkuk. What about his character? Well, the only things mentioned about this man, Habakkuk, is mentioned in Habakkuk. Which tells me something. That this man, this minor prophet, was so caught up in maximizing God and God's prophecies that he minimized who he was. You'll read nothing about this man. If you do, I stand corrected. Enlighten me anywhere else in the Bible. If you do, it's probably in reference to his prophecy. But you won't read or see anything about what he did for a living, how he was raised. Now, we have Isaiah, major prophet, but we know a lot about him. So when it comes to God's people and who God uses, we ought to not look at some that are big and mighty, and these are, you know, are not necessary for the work of God, but it's all level grounds. And so we see this man Habakkuk in his character. Not much is known of him outside of this little book, which tells me that he minimizes himself and maximizes God and his prophecies. Very humble man Habakkuk was. A very focused man he was. God gave him 3 chapters for the Word of God. And that's a very amazing thing because, as you'll see, and I'm sure you've learned through the years, that Habakkuk goes from ground zero to a sanguine hero. He really does. So number one, his person, minor prophet. His name means wrestler or embracer. His character is he minimizes himself, maximizes God in his prophecies. Let's move on to his purpose. We briefly mentioned the office of a prophet to foretell and forthtell. Okay. But what was his main purpose of this book? 2 things, and it's kind of ironic. Number one, the purpose of the book of Habakkuk and the purpose of his life was to warn God's people, Judah, of the enemy, the Chaldeans or Babylonians, that they would have victory over them. So think about it. God's man, God's person, God's instrument was to relay a message to God's people. Listen, God is going to turn the enemy loose on us. He is turning the enemy loose on us. And so part of his message, again, was to warn. That part of a prophet was to foretell or forthtell, meaning Habakkuk would, he would warn the people, the same thing as of today and the day and time we live in, and the things that God allows me to share and other preachers and teachers that we have here at Calvary. You foretell of the coming things of the Lord, and we persuade men to be saved and to find comfort in Him. And so part of his purpose was to warn Judah, God's people, of the enemy, the Chaldeans' victory over them. But then the second purpose of this book was to encourage Judah of their victory over the Chaldeans. So number one, twofold purpose, was to warn God's people of the enemy. But number two, to encourage God's people of their victory over the enemy in the end. And let me just make a little side note here, that the devil thinks he's having all kinds of fun and he's a roaring lion, and the devil thinks that he is devouring and destroying lives, and he is destroying lives, those who let him. But we have the victory in the end. We've read the last page of the book of Revelation. We know he ends up in the lake of fire. And so a lot of the same similarities from the purpose of Habakkuk was to warn Judah, God's people, of the defeat they were about to experience, but also encourage them as well of the end victory. Now, my third point, and this is where we're going to stay for a little while tonight, and that is his path, Habakkuk's path. We've seen his person, his purpose, but what about his path? Well, again, if you notice, this book is three chapters long, and what I want to do now is use one chapter describing a threefold path that Habakkuk experienced. Habakkuk's path in life can be divided into three parts. And I believe we can identify with some of these things that he experienced, and it ended up being a blessing to us. In chapter number one, when it comes to his path, we see a site of tragedy. The entire chapter, chapter number one, is what Habakkuk is seeing, some things God is allowing him to see. Look in verse number one. The burden, which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The word burden here, it means heavy load. I mean, this is something that God is showing this prophet that's heavy. And in verse number two, he says, notice in verse two, he says, "O Lord," notice this, "how long?" Has anybody ever carried a heavy load for a long time? You can already see the path that he started on. As a prophet, it's a heavy load that God was allowing him to see. And he says in verse 2, "Oh Lord, how long? How long shall I cry and thou will not hear?" This is the prophet telling God, "You're not hearing me. Even cry out unto thee of violence meaning robbery and physical bodily harm, and thou will not save." So in verse number two, he's saying that, Lord, this is a heavy burden, and I just start to think that you're not even hearing my prayers, because if you did, you would intervene. How long, Lord? How long? I wonder any of us tonight may be in the same mind frame. I don't know. I'm gonna come in here on a Wednesday night, and you know, we mention our prayer requests, but in burdens and trials, I say it often, it's nearly mentioned in every sermon, every lesson, because it's life, it's the Christian life. But there's those times where there's heavy loads, where you're asking God, "How long, Lord? How much longer am I going to carry this? Lord, you're not even hearing me." I mean, there's violent, people are getting robbed. I'm in fear of my life. That's what he's saying in verse number two. And look at verse number three. "Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance?" The word grievance here means wearing effort. Habakkuk is wearing effort. Stay in, Jenna. He's wearing down in verse number 3. God had no sooner called him, gave him a burden, and that thing has got him way down. I mean, he's seeing things. Habakkuk is seeing things. He is seeing in verse number 2 violence. He's asking God, how long, Lord, how long is this going to continue? Verse number 3, he's seeing iniquity or sin. And then he says, iniquity, and caused me to behold grievance. For spoiling and violence are before me. There are that raise up strife and contention. So far, this burden, this pathway that Habakkuk's on, when I mean that, I mean a site of tragedy. This is this, in chapter number 1, he's viewing all these things, and it's very, very tragic. Violence, iniquity, there's spoiling, robbery, strife, contention. Look at verse 4. Therefore, the law is slacked. When he says the law is slacked, I don't necessarily believe that he's talking, saying, God, your law is slacked, but maybe in the magistrate's sense. I mean, the judges in courts, so to speak, are cowering down. They're not standing for truth anymore. And someone tell me, is there not a lot of similarities in our day to Habakkuk's day? It's very familiar. In Habakkuk, I mean, it's the path he's on. He has a sight of tragedy. It's the violence, the spoiling, contention. Verse 4, therefore the law is slacked and judgment doth never go forth. You turn on the news and you say, man, he killed that many people and he ain't being put to death? Listen, eye for an eye. That's capital punishment. That's Old Testament. I mean, and I know this is getting on the political realm, but listen, I believe it was this morning I heard of a man, lived right here in Powder Springs, shot his wife through a car. I mean, and I don't know, Miss Nancy, I guess you heard too. You know, three kids. And I mean, judgment's not going forth. You know, he's being put up and three meals a day and TV when he wants it and honey buns. But yet his family was shot dead. That's why I stay out of politics behind the pulpit. Because it stirs me away from the message. Therefore, the law is slacked and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. He says that the wicked is just encircling the righteous. All the magistrates and all those in leadership, those who should be standing for something, are falling for everything. They're tolerating the sin and iniquity. Then he says, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. And so chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, we see Habakkuk's path in life. And it's a site of tragedy. In verse, we won't go through all these verses, we don't have the time, but in verse number 5, the Lord speaks up. And he says in verse number 5, very familiar verses, a lot of people have them hanging on the wall. It says, behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. And so God is saying, Habakkuk, calm down, hold faith. Hold on to your faith in me because I am up to something. All of this isn't getting out on me, and I'm not letting anybody pass and get away from the sin and iniquity and all the wrongdoings they've done. He said, I am working a work in your day. He said, if somebody were to tell you the greatness that's coming out of it, you wouldn't even believe it. And so we see in the Lord, he continues. Verse number 6, he says, for lo, kind of odd here, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. And so literally the Lord is telling Habakkuk, listen, I'm going to raise up the enemy, and he's going to come through and besiege everything. But hold on to faith that I'm doing something, Habakkuk. And then in verse number 7, they are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. And in verse 8, the Lord is continuing to describe the enemy, how they're coming in. But then in verse number 11, there's a time limit on this. Verse 11, he says, then shall his mind change. Speaking of, and I believe, the king of Babylon. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this, his power, unto his God. And then we have verse number 12, Habakkuk. He is still, I really want you to get this before we get to our second point. Habakkuk is under this heavy burden. So he sees these things in verse number 1. It's a burden, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And his job is to tell the people it's a heavy load. And he's wondering in verse 2, how long, Lord? How long? How long? How long will this continue? God, again, in verse number 5 through verse number 11, says, I'm up to something. Then Habakkuk is still strained. In verse number 12, he says, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. He talks about the Lord and his character. Verse 13, thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously? Lord, you're pure, pure eyes. You're holy. And why are you allowing this to be? Why are you looking upon it? Do something, Lord. He says, that deal treacherously and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he. Habakkuk is in a mess. The path that he's on, the burden that he has, that the Lord allowed him to carry, get this, Habakkuk is under the load. And I want to say this tonight, that many times in life, the Christian life, God will burden our hearts for things. A ministry, a person in a ministry. He will burden things we see and that godly agitation we feel. And we're like, Lord, why? Why are they getting away with this? I'm nice to them. Why are they mean to me, Lord? Why don't you just strike them? Just emotions. And there's been a shift of burden. And many times, a burden that the Lord wants us to carry, to be a blessing to someone, to intercede for someone. Every ministry has a burden. And so the point I'm trying to make is that we are not supposed to be living under the burdens that God gives us, if you will. Now, it does happen at times, and this is what Habakkuk's going through. And so we see, number one, a sight of tragedy. Sight of tragedy. Now look in chapter number 2. Talking about his path. We already talked about his person. We talked about his purpose. His path. Chapter 1 was a sight of tragedy. I want you to notice something that changes with Habakkuk in chapter 2 verse 1. Here we see a stance of sobriety. A stance of sobriety. Before I read, we have Habakkuk under that load. I mean, I'll say it this way, the burdens of life has got him down. All he can see is the negative. He is under that. Keep in mind, he's the mouthpiece of God. He can't be under that. He has to be on top of the matter. He has to be trusting God. And see, that's the same thing with us, is that we are God's witnesses, and we're to share the gospel, and we're to, again, help people and pray and intervene, all those things. But if you look in chapter 2 and verse number 1, Habakkuk takes a stance of sobriety. He says this, he says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I want you to see, number 1, he uses the words, my watch. My watch. And so Habakkuk is a watchman. He's a prophet, but he's a watchman. He's doing two things. He's preaching God's word, but he's also watching for the enemy to come in. And Habakkuk had been under a heavy load, but in chapter 2, verse 1, there's just this stance of, he gets sober-minded. Not that he was on, alcohol or nothing like that, but he says, listen, I haven't been standing on my watch. And the watch means post. It means duty. You know, we all have watches that God puts in our life. Grandparents, that's a duty. Parents, that's a duty. You know, any kind of area in your life, that's your watch. That's your post. And Habakkuk has said that I haven't been watching on my post. I have been underneath this heavy burden. And he said, but from this point on, Lord, you told me you're doing something amazing. Although the enemy is coming in to besiege the land, and I have to tell Judah that, he said, I have to be on point at this time in my life. I can't be weighed down by this burden because, God, you're wanting to tell me something. So he says, I will stand upon my watch. I will rise to the occasion. God has called me to be a prophet, so I want to prophesy. God has called me and called me to watch for the enemy upon the wall. So guess what? I'm going to be a watchman for the enemy. I got to thinking about a fancy title going down the road today. Just I love playing on words and things like that. I told Lily, I said, honey, one day I hope I'm a wordsmith. Far from it. Asleep on the clock. Habakkuk said, in essence, in chapter 1, I have been asleep on the clock. He said, God has called me to rise to the occasion, to bear this burden. He said, but I'm lashing out at God. He said, I'm telling God how much longer. Lord, you're not hearing me. That's not being the kind of prophet that the Lord wanted him to be. Habakkuk was human, and he had all the kind of infirmities of the flesh we have, but there was a stance of sobriety. I wonder how many of us have been asleep. Listen, it's Wednesday night crowd. I know that. Just know this. God preached this to me at 2:00 this morning. And I confessed and I repented that I've been asleep on the clock in some areas in my life. Listen, I'm the watchman for my family. I'm supposed to be looking for the enemy coming. And if I'm asleep on the clock, what's going to happen? The enemy is going to come in. And the Lord already told him in chapter number 1 what he's going to do. And so he says in chapter 2, man, I can't be asleep on the clock. I got to get on my watch. He says, I will stand upon my watch. I will be employed in the area God has called me. I will be watchful for my family. I will be watchful for the enemy and see him coming down the road, not when he gets up on me. Look what else he says. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will wait or watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Again, verse number 1 of chapter 2, I believe, is a twofold application. He's talking about a literal watch, his post, command post. He's talking about a literal tower looking for the enemy, being watchful, not asleep, but also he's talking about getting from underneath his burden on top of it, being on the tower, not underneath. Habakkuk says, man, if I want to see the enemy coming, then I've got to get out from underneath, and I got to get on top of some things. He says, I will stand upon my watch. I will be employed there, and I will set me upon the tower. He says, I'm going to be looking for the enemy. Keep in mind, this is a stance of sobriety. This is someone who God had shaken to this stance. Now, we'll hurry along. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. He says, and the Lord answered me. How about that? He took a stance of sobriety and heard from God. And again, we're talking about being sober-minded, being present. You know, you can be somewhere in person but not be there, presently, within a body and mind is what I'm trying to say. You can be there in person but not mentally. You can be somewhere else. And so Habakkuk said, I want to stand upon my watch. I want to sit upon the tower, and I want to wait. I want to watch to see what the Lord's he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Verse number 2, and the Lord answered me. It's too much to get finished in one night. But he said, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. The vision he's talking about is the promise he gave in chapter 1 that I am up to something. And I mean, that's a loaded statement in verse number 5 of chapter 1. The Lord said, behold, ye among the heathen, in regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. It's a loaded statement. It's saying that God is going to bring into victory Judah. God is going to defeat the Chaldeans. God is going to revive his work. But the whole time, to the eye, it does not look that way. And so we're dealing with an element of absolute, total trust in the Lord. He knew he had to sober up mentally. He knew he had to be strong mentally and fear not. And then the Lord spoke to him and told him to write the vision, make it plain, make it legible, make it easy to read, so that he may run, that he may run that readeth it. In other words, make it legible, make it plain and easy to read. And you know, that's my goal every time I teach or preach. I want it to be plain and easily understood. And so his part of his mission, his prophesying, had to do with right in the middle of the besieging, right in the middle of the violence. Here Habakkuk was nailing a sign in that God's up to something and we'll be free one day. I mean, that took absolute faith to do that. Not only to do it, but stay with it. He says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Not now. Not now. The violence will continue, the iniquity, the besieging of the enemy. And he said, but for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Verse 3, at the end it shall speak and not lie. It will be full of truth. It will not be misunderstood or mistaken. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And you can actually take that and say, well, God's going to come through and defeat the enemy here. And then God's eventually the Messiah will come and defeat the devil and set up his kingdom, a new heaven, a new earth. All of it. All of it. We're waiting on the Lord's return, aren't we? We're beholding grievance, iniquity, violence, and spoil. Same thing as Habakkuk. Same thing. The Lord's telling us tonight to just keep waiting. Just tarry, be faithful, plug in, take a stance of sobriety. Don't allow the weight of the world and all the problems of the world and even the ministry you have that's supposed to be a blessing be a burden to you in a negative sense. He said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And then the Lord speaks in very, very strict detail of what's going to take place. And he throws in some woes in there. And you follow it all the way through to the end of verse number 20. My last point is this. Again, we're talking about Habakkuk, his life, and looking at his path. Looked at person and purpose. I couldn't say that if I tried. Perpendicular. Looked at his person, his purpose, his path. Chapter 1, it was a sight that was tragic. Chapter 2, he took a stance of sobriety that was on his path. And then in chapter number 3, we'll be through in a few moments, we see on his path, chapter 3, we see a song of victory. A song of victory. Look at verse number 1. He says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. The word prayer here means praise. It means poem. You could say that this is a psalm of Habakkuk. Psalm of Habakkuk. Now, and then in its entirety in chapter number 3, gives two things that Habakkuk is praising the Lord for. Verse number 3 through 15, we're not going through those verses. Look at them when you get home. But this song of victory, this prayer of Habakkuk, has to do with remembrances of times past. Verse number 3 through 15, you can see some familiar things in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 3 through 15. Just for instance, Habakkuk's remembering the past. If you look in verse number 15, thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses through the heap of great waters. We know what that is. Moses, the children of Israel, through the Red Sea. And we have a visual here where Habakkuk says, you literally walked through there. I mean, you were with them. And you can go through these. There's several. Verse number 5, the pestilence. Before him went the pestilence and burning coals went forth at his feet. On and on we go. He has a song of victory by remembering the past. Let me back up to verse number 1 and mention the word Shigionoth. The word Shigionoth here is a musical term, or at least Shigionoth means music set to certain words. Music set to certain words. For example, on the radio at home, I tell Lily this sometimes. I say, honey, I say, based upon what something sounds like, it's either going to be scary, it's going to be peaceful, or, you know, I don't know, make you anxious or something like that. And so nowadays, for the longest time, Hollywood and all that other crazy stuff has set certain music to certain words or dialogues. Well, Shigionoth here, this music was, it was literally, music was involved, stringed instruments, and it was set to a victor song. And so he says a prayer, a poem, a praise of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth, set to music victoriously. Verse number 2, Habakkuk realizes and he has confidence the Lord will do as he said. And in fact, he says, in wrath, remember mercy at the end of verse number 2. In chapter number 1, he wanted mercy, wrath to rain down. Now Habakkuk's saying, Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. You see, he rose to sobriety. God was speaking to him, and he was in tune with the Lord. And he knows that no matter how bad it is now, he has God, and God will bring the victory. Was it a statement I read today? I think it was. Something along these lines. Many times God will dry up our resources that we may only have him. God will, he'll dry our resources up that it may drive us to him. And listen, this spoke to me this morning. My life, there has been times when God has almost, like the Chaldeans, turned the enemy. I'm not saying God turns the enemy on his kids. What I'm saying is he allows things to happen. And there are heavy burdens at times. But I have realized, and I'm understanding more and more, the point of that is to drive me to the Lord and to who he is. Because he never changes. He's always the same. Look, if you would, briefly, look at verse number 17. Look at that first word, although the fig tree. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Look at this next word. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail. Very sad. And the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. What is Habakkuk doing? He has totally got to the place in his life where he recognizes that God is his source, his sufficiency. Because in verse 18, although the fig tree did not blossom, verse 18, first word, yet. That's real faith. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God has been driving home to my heart lately more than any time ever that the burdens I fret over, the things I don't give to God, it's just a wrestle for me to get to the place of realizing that as long as I have God, it doesn't matter what I'm under. I mean, listen, if we're saved and we know Jesus as our personal Savior, we have the one who can lift the load if he wants to. We have the one who can touch our cancer and touch our families and make all things well. But Habakkuk said, listen, he said, I was under that heavy load, seeing all the grievance, all the violence. He said, but God has called me to be a watchman, and I can be a watchman as long as I'm watching the Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And then lastly, and we'll be through, verse number 19, another one of those verses on the wall. In fact, I think I want to get this for Christy for her birthday. A picture frame of this on the wall. The Lord God is my strength. Not a community that's pure and innocent from evil. That's not my strength. Habakkuk said, when everything's right and going well, that's not my strength. He said, it doesn't matter now. I've been under the weight of that load. And he said, the Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet. Did a little look on that today, and the name gazelle was brought up. The gazelle. I love watching National Geographic, Blue Planet, all that. I had it going today, just meditating, just got the volume up just enough to, so the silence wouldn't kill me. Man, seeing them animals leap and them gazelles just. You see, Habakkuk was under the load. He's so confident. Nothing has to change because God has not changed, and God will give him the ability to overcome. To overcome. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. What kind of high places do you have tonight that is mountainous, not moving? I just want to say, as the Lord's mouthpiece, that mountain doesn't have to move. Because God can give us strength to climb that mountain. He can make our feet as hinds' feet. In a perfect world, and ideally, I want things to be perfect so that I can enjoy my day, Brother David. Guess what? Rude awakening, because if we're looking for those perfect days, rare. I'm not being a preacher of doom or nothing like that. I'm just being realistic that our hope is in the Lord. You're struggling. You got a high place. The Lord can allow you to leap over that. He can allow you to overcome. He says, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Then he says, to the chief singer on my string instruments. It was a song of victory. So that is the life of Habakkuk. His person, his purpose, his path. It was a tough path, but it ended in victory. And I think the overall message tonight is it just runs so parallel with the Christian life. We get to that place where we're tired of being under it. And then finally, we give it to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your patience, Lord, your kindness. God, going into this lesson, I knew it was very, very detailed and did not want to speed through it. But Lord, I feel that the lesson was brought across, and help us tonight to just meditate on that. And Lord, and help us to realize, to be sober-minded and upon our watch. If we're a dad tonight, help us guard our family from the wolves of this world. Let us not be sleeping on the clock. Lord, we know we have your promise when we rise to the occasion. Lord, you will enable us. You enable us to rise. We love you. We thank you. And we just pray a special blessing over this group tonight. In Jesus' name. okay? Go ahead. I was getting...